Welcome back. Can we bring that feed down, please? Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's hour number two. My guest has not shown up, so I guess we're going to try and take some callers if people are keen, I guess. I'm not sure if even the caller line works, but yeah, just kind of left in the lurch. Don't worry. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Now, the person I was going to have on is Vapu Kupinga, and caller line is not yet open. If we can just get that started up, Mr. Producer Man, that'll be nice. And then you guys can call in at 218-339-8525. And I want people to also remind others, and this is one of the difficult jobs for me as being the radio show host and the editor and the YouTube uploader and the everything. Excuse me. Apparently, I've now got an associate producer named Mel, who's doing quite a fabulous job, and organising guests for the show. And that's taken one of the thousand or so responsibilities I have on the show off of my hands, and that's quite lovely. But there's things that I need from you, the audience, and what we want to do is grow the live audience so that people, when I say, can you call in, people aren't just listening on archives like the vast majority of people who listen to the show do, and can actually call in. So that's the problem because, when we ask for callers, nobody calls in because there ain't nobody there. So the number is, if you want to prove me wrong, and I hope you do because I love being proved wrong, is 218, especially when I'm being negative, is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525 to call in American Freedom Radio. And it's the same number for all of the American Freedom Radio show hosts. Okie dokie. Saw a video yesterday of virtually a nuke going off in Syria, and I was like, whoa, man, that should have been newsworthy, but apparently it wasn't worthy of the news. Happened like over a month ago or something like that. Allegedly some dump, like ammo dump or something like that, got blown up. Huge mushroom cloud billowing up into the air, huge quantities of people shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you know. As you do. And what I found very strange about this is that, look, there's people in the truth movement who were just really, really gullible, okay? Like, you know what this video was posted under? Nukes being fired on Syria, World War III has begun, and nobody's reporting it. Dude, it wasn't a nuke, okay? First of all, here's how you know. The EMP would have wiped out the person's camera. So you wouldn't have heard him say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, oh my God, is there people are blowing up my city. You wouldn't have heard that because the camera would have gone dead. Secondly, you would have hardly seen the explosion because the flash would have been so bright that it would have flared the camera lens. Okay, so this is what people don't understand. You know, it's just the tiniest, tiniest little amount of critical thinking. And you know how many views this video has? Like 500,000 views. 500,000 views. Because somebody claimed it was a nuke and that World War III was starting, and falsely, might I add. People don't know what the heck they're talking about 99% of the time. Hey, I don't know what I'm talking about, but at least I'm freaking honest about it. I know how to admit that I don't know, that I'm not freaking God. I'm not omnipotent. A lot of people don't like that, on the other hand. They're just that foolish. It's unbelievable. You know, I can't fathom it because it's just so stupid that it doesn't even enter into my consciousness. You know what I'm saying? The difficulty here is, when you see stories that have an overblown, and this is the funny thing, you learn to assume that something's BS, just like a normal a quote-unquote normal person sees something like 9/11 is an inside job and they blag it as conspiracy theory straight away without looking at any of the evidence. As a conspiracy theorist, you look at stories like nuke fired on Syria, World War III has begun, and you instantly assume, you know, that's total BS, it can't be true. And then it turns out, unfortunately, when you're a conspiracy theorist and you make wild accusations, 90% of the time you're correct. And it really is irritating because you're like, man, I wish that the world wasn't that predictable a place. You know, it is some of the arguments against being a conspiracy theorist is that, oh, you just want to be comfortable thinking you know everything. And it's like, yeah, bro, having the recognition that the government are a bunch of criminal scum that want to kill me and or enslave me and my entire country and sell us out to foreign banks and exterminate the 90% of the population and have the rest of us living under a draconian police surveillance state. That is what I'm thinking just to make myself feel comfortable. You gotta be freaking kidding me. Are you retarded? The answer is yes. The answer is absolutely yes. There are not a hell of a lot of intelligent people out there. Okay? If you are one of these intelligent people, and if you listen to the show, you're probably one of them. You're not the majority. Okay? Have a look at any of these Justin Bieber / scum Chris Crocker videos on YouTube with the hundreds of millions of hits. Look at Psy's Gangnam Style. He has a billion hits on YouTube. A billion hits. A seventh of the population of the world has watched that video. If you think that intelligent people are the majority, you are deluded. Absolutely deluded. And if you think that knowing about conspiracy theories makes you intelligent, also deluded, all right? I don't know what the hell the parameters of being intelligent are, really, because I'm not smart enough, honestly. And I think that might actually be, unwittingly, one of the parameters of being intelligent, is knowing that you don't know it all, is not acting under every single assumption as soon as that assumption hits you in the face, okay? I think one of my English teachers once told me that the mentality of a quote-unquote redneck is somebody who changes their political views on a dime because of a current news story. I found that really interesting. Right, we actually have some callers. Thank you for proving me wrong. First caller in the 602 area code. You are on the air. What is your first name and the state that you are calling from, please?
Hi, Benny. My name is Dan. I'm calling from Arizona.
Can't hear you, mate. You're going to have to speak up quite considerably.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Only just. You might have to, like, speak up, yo.
Well, I just wanted to get... My name is Dan. I'm calling from Arizona.
What's up, dude?
Kudos for having Mark Stevens on your show.
Oh, yeah.
I've got personal experience that Mark helped me with. And got me out of a scrape in the court system, and I wish more people would have the temerity to listen to him and defend themselves, because it's real activism. It's not pretend.
Mm. I tend to agree, and it's activists like Dan, Mark, who I consider, as a radio show host and as a protest kind of a leader and stuff like that, I do chanting and so on and so forth, but I consider Mark to be the kind of person who does the real activism work, like actually on the front lines, at the coalface, in the courts. That's the real work, because those are the people that have to read the documents and so on and so forth. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Mark's the real deal.
Mm. Any more, or is that it?
Well, that's it, because you can't hear me very well, so I just wanted to say that. Thanks a lot, Benny.
All right. And the second caller that called in hung up while Dan was talking. Okay, thank you very much. Now I'm all alone again. You got to love that. Okay, so back what I was saying as well, and I wanted to indeed pick up on this point, is that is the real activism. And indeed, those are the people that are working the hardest out of all of us, you know, reading documents, going into the courts. Mate, I've been in the courts. I've tried to read these documents. And just that small sort of taste of it that I got was like too much for me. Okay? I'm just your friendly neighborhood douchebag reporter, you know? Just like most reporters that work for mainstream media, I don't know much, you know. But instead of, and this is a funny story actually. I'll tell you this one. This is a time that I nearly got arrested in the courthouse for filming. You know, like they've got security cameras in the courthouse, and they got cops everywhere, and they got security guards, and so on and so forth. They got recording devices in the courtroom, which incidentally have never turned on, because if there was a court of record, you'd be able to sack half the judges and fire them and put them in frickin' jail for the rest of their natural-born lives. And the cop tried to arrest me. Conveniently, I had some people, some Māori activists, who stepped in this policeman's way and prevented them from arresting me, physically prevented them from arresting me. I was really quite grateful to that. And the mainstream media were there. They were watching. Did they come up and ask any of these activists, any of these people who were actually in court that day, anybody with any authority, anybody who was one of the speakers about what happened and what it was about? Or did they go to one of the gang members who was there, who had about 6 teeth missing, who was a moron, and spoke with authority about nothing, and ask him to come out and make comments? You bet your bottom dollar they did. That was an experience to me of just going, you know what? These people really are evil, deceptive, lying scum. Okay? That's what mainstream media are. And if you don't see that, you are blind to the truth. Now, I had this this feeling the other day that the responsibility of a position being in radio is such that you can't, in any way, shape, or form, shirk it. And you must indeed speak to the people. Because I had a lot of people criticizing me and telling me to do this, that, and the other. And I started getting very angry and trying to argue with them. And then I realized something. Oh, my God. You know what would happen if you stopped listening to your listeners? They'd stop listening to you. That's not cool. I kind of feel like I hear somebody on the line. That's not Vappy Kupinger, is it? No? Okay, I thought not. It was kind of strange. I hear something in the background there, and there's nobody on the lines or anything. Just my imagination. And also, this whole element of getting into the alternative media is not that hard, folks. It's actually really easy to get into the alternative media. It's as simple as going to youtube.com, typing in your email address, and getting a YouTube account. That's how I started. I see so many people out there who say, I want to start this big organization. I want to do this, that, and the other, and such, and blah, blah, blah. And who's going to help me? And, you know, they're surprised nobody helps them. Dude, you've got to help yourself, okay? Do you have any idea how many years I spent on the streets filming activists and going out this? Like here's the easiest thing in the world to do. You want to be alternative media? Attend protests. Attend protests. And film them. And then after the protest, or before the protest, find those people that are holding megaphones. Find those people who were speaking through microphones. Anybody who had an amplified voice, who was a speaker of some kind at that event, I can guarantee you, has extraordinary quantities of information to share with you, and hence with any potential people who might watch said video. All right? And if there ain't no protests in your particular area, if there's really nothing going on, go to a council meeting. All right? Every small town, no matter how small, has council meetings. And that's where a huge quantity of criminality and scumbaggery actually goes on. And you will find out, just through sitting through a couple of council meetings, just how corrupt your own little township actually is. Don't speak up. Don't try and interrupt them. Just be there. Just film. You know, because 99% of the job of activism in alternative media is just showing up. You know? Just show up. Because look at it this way. Activists took the trouble to attend these protests, attend these public meetings and what have you. As alternative media, all you're going to do is show up with them and film them and make sure that they get out there. Pretty simple. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnynationshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show where the music never stops, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's a real bugger when you call your guest in the morning right before the show and organise a time for them to come on, and then they're not there on the number that they said that they would be at when you call them, and then you're left all alone on the air. And then when people call in, they can't even be bothered waiting in, on hold for 60 seconds so you can get to their call. Yeah, as my second caller did. You know, that's a frustrating thing, isn't it? So please, ladies and gentlemen, ring in if you actually have something to say and you're willing to hold on the line for more than 60 seconds. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 is the number to call. Now, I also wanted to try and give a little lesson here for would-be YouTubers / radio show hosts or whatever. Because, I mean, basically, I claim that I don't really know anything about anything, but when it comes to actual alternative media, making your videos, doing your radio shows and that kind of stuff, I know a lot. I've got a lot of experience. Is 6 years a hell of a lot of experience? Is being number one in New Zealand a hell of a lot of experience? Is going to a protest and having heaps of people come up to you and recognize who you are, about 10% of the crowd of activists and people who actually attend protests, knowing who you are and recognizing you, that kind of thing? Is that knowing a lot? Is that doing a lot? You bet your frickin' ass it is, man. And it is evidentiary and it is elementary, my dear Watson. I do know what I'm talking about in that particular case. So, you know, if you want to call in and you want to start getting into activism, media or some description, call in 218-339-8525. And we have Chris in Florida. You're on the air, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Ben? Can you hear me?
Not really. We've got some real weird stuff going on with the phones today, Chris. It's like, everybody's real silent.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to talk really loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, just bump it up just a little bit. I'm just turning my volume up so I can hear you. I mean, the audience might not be able to. But anyway, go for your life, mate. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard the other caller on there, and I could hear him pretty clear, so maybe it's on your end. If you want, I'll talk. Well,
you're coming through clearly right now.
Run through a couple points that I had, because I'm glad you had Mark Stevens on. I was familiar with his stuff. And it's not really a rebuttal that I had, you know, about what he has to say. But there were a few things when you go down that road of, you know, going without any government at all. And the thing that I would say is that in America specifically, I think I could really only speak to that, would be that the founders wanted a small government and they wanted it limited. And what we have now is a corporate, you know, because of 1871, a corporation. And, you know, it was a simple idea, and there was a system of checks and balances, and the federal government was never supposed to get as big as it did, and there weren't supposed to be millions of statutes and all kinds of regulations, and I don't think they ever envisioned driver's licenses and people getting pulled over and hauled into, you know, courtrooms to pay, you know, these little penalties for, you know, speeding or, you know, being stopped and told that they were, you know, using the public ways and you know, being stopped and against their right to travel. And I think what people should actually do is they should read the Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact, then read the Declaration of Independence, which is the founding document, followed by the Articles of Confederation, the Bill of Rights, and then the Constitution, which is the governing document. And then read the philosophers and the authors that they were actually inspired by to write the thing that, that they drew from, which would be Alexis de Tocqueville, Hobbes, John Locke, Montesquieu, and then see what made this government different than all the others. And there was one thing that was never supposed to lead to tyranny that made this government different from all the other ones, and why all these little tin pot dictators and democracies that they're trying to set up aren't going to work, is that they believed in providence and a transcendent moral order that undergirded the Constitution. So even though it wasn't a Christian government, it reflected those principles. And that point about a transcendent moral order was very important, and that idea of providence. So I think people need to just go back to the basics first, because let's say another country attacked our country and we didn't have a government. You know, that's one thing, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not fully
could I interject
everything
here,
Mark is saying. I understand his point.
Chris, could I interject here for a second?
Because sure.
One of my mates is very much a fan of totally limited government and basically no limits on commerce or anything like that. So if the government wants to sell a state asset, he thinks that's a very, very good thing. So, you know, because it's less power to the government, more power to the corporations. This is how he thinks. Now, in theory, if you give the power to private enterprise and keep the government out of its business and stop it and stop lobbying government to act like a monopoly, that's actually, in theory, a really good move. But the problem is that theory doesn't work if you include the element of scumbaggery. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's my argument. You can't have people having no restrictions on them whilst the element of scumbaggery still exists and have no power to actually challenge it. And so whatever great ideas or great theories that the founding fathers had, it didn't specifically outline scumbaggery and that kind of thing, did it? Because I think that if I was to ever pass legislation, I would only pass two laws and never again pass another law. First law would be the Suppression of Scumbaggery Act, and the second law would be the Prohibition of Legislation Act, to prohibit anybody from passing any more legislation ever. Okay, because as soon as you suppress the scumbaggery, you suddenly don't need any more legislation, because what does legislation nowadays actually connote and accomplish and help? Scumbaggery!
Right. And I want to say one other thing, Vin, that a lot of people, I think, misquote sometimes. you know, they say that the Constitution, you know, that the president can suspend it, you know, during martial law. The Constitution can never be suspended. They can only suspend habeas corpus. And, you know, sometimes people mistakenly say that. But it is the supreme law of the land, and no matter how many, you know, BS statutes and things that they pass, you know, there's really only one basic principle, and that was from the beginning, you can be pretty much be free to do whatever you want to do as long as you don't hurt anyone else or their property or use fraud in your contract. And that was the whole law. That was it. And then your individual rights came from private property. And that's another reason why we kind of need a government, because, you know, Adam Kokesh, when he did his march on Washington, D.C., and he said, well, I should be able to go there and, you know, load a gun and not get arrested for some imaginary line that I crossed. Well, yeah, it is an imaginary line, but so is your property. You know what I mean? Your individual right comes from your private property. That's where individual rights come from. I mean, these are just basic things that people need to kind of wrap their heads around, and then kind of, if they want to come up with solutions, go from there, in my opinion. That's what I think. Yeah. These aren't long documents, you know, to read. If you want to get into the philosophers and the things like that, you know, well, yeah, those are books and stuff, but, you know, it's all to your benefit. And there's a lot of good movies and things on YouTube. There's one about the 1871 Act that somebody put together that's really good that I just saw the other day. I don't know what the name of it is, but probably if you put that in the search engine, you could check that out. And I would start there.
Now another argument that's put forward, let's say,
I hope people could hear me, because I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, Vince.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for that, Chris. Yeah, there's something strange going on with the phones and everything. We're kind of working on it 24/7 as we speak at the network there, and also got to give big ups to our producer Adam, trying to deal with everything he's dealing with right there. He's kind of he's taking it all on the chin, and all the whole network on his shoulders at the moment.
Can
so
you
know, everybody
question,
needs to give homage to that, to give homage to the man from Cali. Oh yeah. And I was just thinking about this the other day. A friend of mine put a Facebook post up, Chris, and she said, there's a difference between doing what's legal and doing what's moral, right? So, and I postulated that to take away a family's home, even though it's half paid off because you missed a single mortgage payment, is immoral. And then somebody comes back and says, well, you actually volunteered and went into and signed that mortgage contract. Therefore, them kicking you out of the house isn't moral because you agreed to it. Yeah, really? Did the bank fraudulently or honestly have that money before you signed the contract? And the answer is they didn't have it. They just made it up as soon as your signature was on there. That's fraud because there's no consideration. They right. don't stand to lose anything by loaning you out your entire mortgage. So is it moral for somebody who's perpetrating fraud against you that you agree with to take your private property, even though it's half paid off and they don't stand to lose anything? I don't think that's moral at all. What about you, Chris? Do you think that's moral?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, that makes me think of there was this really good movie that was done in the 90s that they just reran called Election. And at the beginning of the movie, it's with Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon. And he asked the class, what's the difference between ethics and morals? And they never get an answer. And it kind of leaves you to you know, understand the difference between the two, you know, yourself. And that's kind of a perfect case in point. You know, the difference between an ethical dilemma and a moral one, and where the two meet. And, I think the good news about it is these are deeply complex issues, and we're definitely exposing or picking the scab back, peeling it back of the problem. And we probably won't solve it in this conversation between the two of us, but the fact that we're talking about it is very important.
Well, and this is something I was talking about behind the scenes with one of our guests yesterday, is that he's really concerned about his friends. Like, he'll go out drinking and playing pool with them, but you never actually have any real conversations. You never actually develop anything. It's all about beer and the P word that rhymes with stussy. And it occurs to me that, you know, you actually really do have to surround yourself with who you want to become. You know what I'm saying, Chris? Because you actually have to have these kind of conversations that we're having now on a daily basis. On a daily basis. With as many people as you possibly can, in order to develop yourself, in order to change this whole paradigm. Because I think the real problem with our societies as we've seen them now is that you or I could go out to a supermarket and see a mother there who is buying her kids a whole bunch of aspartame-containing soda pop drinks and a whole bunch of GMO corn or something like that. And if society was at the point where people would be accepting of this kind of conversation, we would go up to that woman and say, you know what, you're feeding your kids formaldehyde. When it hits room temperature, which as soon as your kids drink it and it processes in their gut for a moment, that aspartame, that artificial sweetener in that Coke, is going to turn to formaldehyde in their gut. And you see that GMO corn that you're buying your kids there? It causes cancer in rats. And there was a farmer who put two cobs of corn in his barn where he's got some rats and some mice. And after a year, the normal organic corn was eaten almost completely by the rats and mice, and the GMO corn had not been touched. You're feeding your kids something that even rats wouldn't eat. In a real society with real people, and Chris, thank you for your call, that conversation would result in that mother going, oh my God, you're right. I'm going to stop poisoning my kids deliberately. Is there anything else out there that's not poisoned? Why, yes, yes, there is. Here's such and such a solution. Good on you. Problem solved. But it's not like that yet. It's because we're not saying enough yet. We'll be right. Ooh, yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I'm not sure if I reiterated this, but I need you, the listeners who listen live, to tell people and spread the word on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or whatever, to encourage people to actually listen to this show live. Okay, if you're listening to me now, right now, I need you. And I need your help. Please go to wherever it is you post up your information, wherever it is that you jam out your information, emailing out to people, doesn't matter. Just tell people what time the show is on and encourage them to listen in. I mean, we ain't got no advertising budget here. In fact, I haven't seen a dime from the Blue Shield advertisements for like a good on 6 months. The hell's the point in that? Okay, and I don't know what the real problem is or anything like that. But anyway, call in line is still open right now, 218-339-8525. And for those of you in New Zealand or elsewhere in the world, it is a US number. So there's like some kind of a prefix or a suffix or like an 01 or something like that you put ahead of it. And having international callers would be really cool, you know? And I do like this whole opportunity of kind of like pick and mix bag, you know, like a caller can call in from Florida or Arizona or from New Zealand or Australia or whatever. And we can just, you know, rap about some stuff, man. What's the problem with that? Getting really sick of people who, I don't know, they think they're above their listeners. And that's really sick to me, all right? Because, basically, they wouldn't have a job unless their listeners were listening. You know, like, we got this talk radio show host in New Zealand called Michael Laws. He disrespects his listeners so bad, it's not even fun. You know, hangs up on people, insults them, etc., etc., etc. And it's just disgusting. You know, you shouldn't do that to people who've you know, I mean, essentially, as far as I'm concerned, if you're listening to me right now, you're donating me your time. And in essence, as a moral, as an ethical person, whatever the bridge between moral and ethical is, of course, I feel obligated to give you some time to speak, you know, and actually listen without interrupting you or going on a rant and then telling you that I'm sorry I'm ranting and I promised I would take your calls. That's not my style, baby. And there's a lot of frustration. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Please call in 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And make sure to remind people to listen to the show live. The time will be 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on the West Coast with Snoop Dogg, that'll be about the time that you're going to be listening to this show, yo. Just when your kids get out of school. And just before you get home from work, and I know I've got a bunch of listeners that listen while they're at work on headphones so that the boss doesn't find out. Good on you. That's the spirit. And 4 till 6 mountain time. So if you're on Montana, which is incidentally a name of I think it's Montana's on mountain time. I forget. But anyway, Montana is also the name of a Jamaican tanning salon. Get it? Montana. And that'd be 4 till 6 p.m. And if you're in Texas, if you're stuck in traffic on the gargantuan highways, outnumbered 4 to 1 with pickup trucks, you can tune in from 5 till 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And here's the deal. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com to listen to the show. I've listened to a lot of networks, during my time as a truther, as an activist. And the AmericanFreedomRadio.com stream is 128K per second. Okay. The average that I've seen on other networks is between 32 and 64. So it's between four times and twice as good a quality to listen to on the air as anybody else. Okay, there's a very little scratchling BS that's on the air that I hear on so many networks that even are larger and have more listeners than AFR have lower audio quality than we do on this network. Okay, that's true testament to you. Don't need a cast of thousands. You don't need a $1 million budget in order to make the best quality radio and alternative media. You just got to have some talented people. And believe me when I tell you, there are some talented people on this network. And you need some people with some skill and some experience behind the boards, which we have here in droves. And, you know, there might be some problems. Maybe we're not quite up to date with archives. But, you know, we're working on it. We're getting that stuff solved there. Kevin, thank you very much for your hard work. I hope you're listening to this. Now, if you're on the East Coast, it's 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. So instead of watching the 6 o'clock news, trust me, this show has better information than the 6 o'clock news. I can say that with authority because I've never watched the 6 o'clock news, and therefore it's probably not relevant. And if you're in the Uber Kingdom, the UK, it's 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. All right. So if you were a late night conspiracy theorist, which a lot of us are, you know, because you're up late at night smoking a joint and watching like about 7 documentaries or something like that about how the New World Order is going to kill you with radiation, and so you should smoke weed to protect yourself from it. 11 till 1 o'clock. In the morning, and in Europe, It's midnight till 2 a.m. I've in that same time zone, I believe that even includes Tunisia and North African countries as well. You know, this this show's pretty global. We've had one of my listeners from Tunisia to come on and talk about these sorts of things, like the revolution that happened there. In New Zealand, and there's a whole bunch of other time zones that I don't quite get, but in New Zealand, and this is the real challenging part, is that the time zones change when daylight savings does. So as soon as we hit daylight savings for springtime here, for the first hour, it's going to be like, well, at the moment anyway, it's 10 a.m. till midday. And then one time zone changes either in the US or in New Zealand first. I don't know where it is. And then we get pushed back an hour, so it becomes 11 to 1. And then another person's time zone changes. It might be New Zealand second or America second, or I forget which. And then we get pushed back another hour. And so in the summertime in New Zealand, more or less, it's midday till 2 p.m. But for right now, in the dead of winter, it's 10 a.m. till midday. So I really do wish that people would go to the homepage of thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. The time zones are written there, I think right in the middle of the homepage for you to look at, because, you know, it'd be really, really nice if we had people listening live in droves to this radio show, because there's so much going on. That really it's difficult to actually kind of, you know, catch up on archives sometimes. Incidentally, if you subscribe for a dollar or more a month, preferably $5 a month, you know, some people are subscribed for 10, 20, some people are subscribed for 50, some people $50 to $100 a month, you know, that kind of thing, just to support the, you know, the work that I do every single day. Unfortunately, I can't really, you know, send you things like T-shirts, cups, DVDs, and stuff like that, because, you know, just running the radio show and going out there and being an activist and filming all these public meetings and protests, which no matter how many freaking cameras are there, nobody ever freaking puts them up online. It's just so frustrating. You know, I have to do this all by myself. All right? That is really, really frustrating. I wish I had like a second internet line, because there are so much things that I need to upload, but I don't even have the time to upload them because I got a show to do every day for a full 2 hours. All right. And that's what happens with all your donations. Ladies and gentlemen, you just pay the internet, pay the rent, buy some food, buy some gas, and that's about it. That's really all I've got the resources to do. To be able to, I wish I could do more. And in order to do more, I need more. You know, I think I've proven myself worthy. Okay, you have a look at the featured interviews page on thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There are the A-list of the tippy-top A-list on that page. Just Google featured interviews, Vinny Eastwood Show, and you will come up with the link to that. All right, you know, you got your G. Edward Griffins, you got your Lindsay Williams, you got your Gerald Celente, and goodness knows how many other people. And the reason why I do all this is because, well, there's really nobody else in New Zealand actually even really having a crack at it to this extent. And I want to create this platform and in order to give New Zealanders and the activists that live here, adequate coverage. They need it, okay? I'm going head-to-head with the mainstream media, and I'm beating them. I'm actually beating the mainstream media. Have a look at the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. It's got more YouTube subscribers than any mainstream media outlet in the fracking country by far. By far. By far. Okay? I'm beating the pants off them because they're useless, pathetic scum who wouldn't know how to use a camera or upload a video if their life depended on it. If a man had a gun to their head and said, look, bro, you've got to support the people of New Zealand. You've got to get their voices out there or I'm going to shoot you. They go, ooh, bang, and they die because they're that freaking useless. I would get the job done and I would survive as I have been doing.
Support Dean at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Subscribe or donate today, if you please. See you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.